Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Integrity Matters by Turnington. My name is Chooks, and I'll be your host for today's episode. Today, we're going to be looking at rubric design to support effective feedback for learners. With me in the house today is Mark Rickson, who is the Principal Product Manager, Assessment Services at Turnington. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Chooks.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing good. Doing good.
Just as is customary when we begin this recording, is just to get a little bit about your background. So can you give us a little bit about what you do at Turnitin, maybe your academic background, and what excites you about the work you do?
Well, I've been at Turnitin for almost 14 and a half years now. So I've done many different things at Turnitin, but my current role is around assessment services, which includes building reusable, shareable components around the grading and feedback and assessment experience. So right now I am conducting research around rubrics, what rubrics are, that various types of rubrics are used, or scoring criteria or scoring forms to assess student work. And as well as that, I am kicking off research soon around just grading and feedback practices in general. And this feedback that we receive from our educators, students, administrators, learning technologists will help inform our product development roadmap. I love all of that. I love working at Turnitin. I've been really passionate about education ever since. I've had just a couple really fantastic teachers that have helped just push me on the path where I am. I graduated with a bachelor's in English, but that was never something I was good at. I just had four really fantastic English teachers in high school that just built the love in me for English as a subject, English literature, anything about reading and writing. I just built a passion for it. I was typically a math guy, though. I'm fairly analytical. But it's amazing what those teachers did to sort of transform the direction of my life.
That means you're the right man to discuss rubric design, rubrics, and all things feedback for learning. So my first question will be around learning and teaching. Now, as a learning and teaching practice, feedback is very important. We can't stress that. Now, how do you describe feedback in assessments, and how can educators leverage feedback for learning?
Yeah, it's an interesting question. How do I describe feedback and assessment? Well, from what I know, it takes on a variety of forms. So I think what we hear from research by someone like John Hattie is the where to next feedback is the most valuable type of feedback, because that's the thing that a student can take with them to the next task and address and learn from maybe mistakes that they've made or areas for improvement. But what we know is that a lot of feedback is around like minor editing. You forgot a comma here, that's incorrect grammar. Or it's just positive feedback. Good, check mark. I remember many essays that I wrote where there were smiley faces next to things that my marker liked and didn't really tell me anything besides, I guess, they liked what I wrote. But it wasn't something I could take with me and apply. There's also the summary feedback, so the overall feedback of the student work. And so I think that's typically what most educators do, at least from my experience, is there's some sort of summary feedback at the end about the performance, the strengths, weaknesses, and opportunities for growth. And that's another way that students can learn what their markers are looking at when they're assessing their work and what they're going to be keeping an eye out going forward. And then, of course, I think the most common type of feedback is sort of justifying the mark that was given. So the comments and feedback aren't necessarily something that can be taken forward, but at least it provides clarity about the mark that was given.
So I think you've talked about the where to next in terms of how feedback is applied. Now, for an educator who is probably watching this, the question is, how do I examine or evaluate the effectiveness of my feedback? So what are your suggestions to educators who are watching in terms of evaluating the quality of their feedback they're providing their students?
Yeah, I think this is a tough one. I think providing quality feedback is difficult and time consuming, because each student is somewhat different. Their work is somewhat different. Where they are in the learning progress is different. And so knowing exactly what to say to help push them in the right direction, you have to really understand where that student's work is in comparison to where they're going on their learning journey. I think, you know, the quality of feedback, I would say, is if the student addresses it, you can tell it's pretty good quality feedback. If the student has taken in that feedback and done something with it, they've engaged with it somehow. I mean, that's the key, right? You've spent this time leaving the feedback, and if the student has done something and taken action for it, that's a good sign that there's some quality there. Now, what I would say is that quality is probably better over quantity. You don't want to overwhelm a student with too much feedback, because then where do they even start? I think reviewing feedback with students will give you a sense for whether they understand what to do. So it may not be possible to do that with a very large course, but if you do have office hours and you can review some of the feedback, you can probably get a good sense for what feedback was either confusing or was helpful for the student to know what to do next.
I think you raise a really good point there. One of the things I've learned over the years is not just providing feedback for students, but giving them an opportunity to apply that feedback in subsequent work. That in that way, you're also able to test the quality of the feedback and also be able to test the quality of your learning and teaching resources as well. So those are really essential pieces when examining or evaluating the quality of feedback. You're very passionate about rubric design, and just want to get your thoughts on why we need rubrics and why this is particularly important in designing learning and assessment with feedback in mind.
I think rubrics are really important to provide standards at which you're marking student work with. Otherwise, it becomes somewhat subjective. It's hard to justify. You don't really know what the qualities you're looking for, and those things change with each marker. You don't have a consistent marking standard that they're all applying, especially for the large courses where there's many markers. That's how you retain consistency. Mm. And actually, it's how you track learning objectives across a course. If you're using a rubric, you know exactly what you're scoring and why you're scoring for it. And you can track that progress over that course or program. And it makes you more efficient at grading. The more you use the rubric, the more familiar you are with it, the more you know what to look for in student work. And it helps guide you through that marking process. Also, I think it's really important too, because they provide clarity to students. So while a student is producing the work, if you provide access to the rubric before the student produces the work, I think that's something you should do, because it helps them evaluate their own work and potentially make changes prior to turning it in for that assignment. And I think that's really key. And also, you know, I think with technology, the use of rubrics, the data is even more useful because it's much easier to extract insights from that if you're using it in a digital format versus pen and paper, where it's much more difficult to capture all that information and find insights from it. And those are insights from the student's progress or just your own teaching and learning, how effective it is at teaching those particular learning objectives for each task.
So with everything you just mentioned, what would you say are some elements of a good rubric design as an opportunity for effective feedback?
Well, I've been looking at a lot of rubrics recently, and it could just be me, but I find it very difficult to tell the difference between descriptors for specific criteria. Sometimes it's really not clear. There could be like a couple word differences where it's still kind of subjective, because the word could mean a couple different things. And so I think when I've seen some good elements of rubric design, it's a very clear criteria of why you received that. And it could just even be bullet points for each descriptor. And some of the things I would like to see technology be able to reproduce is this ability to select where the student performed across descriptors. So there's a lot of clarity that they may not have actually received achieved every aspect of that descriptor. It may have crossed two different ones, so the student can understand where they could have performed better. And I think that's the clear thing, is that if we want this to be used as a form of feedback, students need to know what they could have done through the rubric itself to have improved their performance on that particular assessment. So you may want to incorporate students into this process to see if they can understand the differences between these descriptors. I think I know it's hard to have rubric design with students, but I think it would be something that could be beneficial if you were to incorporate that design with students in mind.
I think that's a very valid point you make there, because part of learning and learning and teaching is now going to the phase where you were actually looking at co-designing learning experiences with students, co-designing assessments, and to your point, designing rubrics. One of the things you mentioned there is also how challenging it might be with the descriptors, which I've come across a fair bit of these as well. What are some other challenges, or you've come across from educators with regards to the design of rubrics in their assessments?
Most of the time when you create a new rubric, it's pretty time consuming. So it's good to have exemplars of rubrics that have come before to help guide and sort of streamline that process and make it consistent as well. You want to have consistency when you're using rubrics and have a similar language. So I think, you know, one of the things that could be beneficial is to have a bank of rubrics or criteria that you can look at to help guide the creation of a rubric when you're designing your curriculum and the assessments and the learning objectives that you're going to be assessing. So I think that would be helpful. There's really not a rubric tool out there. Typically it's Microsoft Word where rubrics are created. It could be a spreadsheet. So I think there's an opportunity for someone, maybe us, to help in that process of designing rubrics and offering those exemplars to help guide that process and make you more efficient at it and understand the quality, because you could look at statistics of previously used rubrics and you could look at how students performed across cohorts on those and potentially use statistics to guide which criteria you'd want to use and how many performance levels you'd want to incorporate. So I think, you know, there are problems with statistics too. It's interpreting it and making sure that the people who are using it understand what it means. But yeah, I think there are some opportunities there. And I think those are some challenges when creating rubrics as well.
One of the few challenges I've also come across with regards to rubrics is making sure that the language is being, I think you also alluded to that there, is making sure that the language used in the rubrics is understood by the instructor, the TAs, and is the same terminology that's used. It comes across the same for the students as well. What that means is if you're expressing set of words or statements to address a criteria, that students have a collective agreement that that's what it means, as opposed to the having different interpretations of what that means. And I know that's one, to your point there, is we would collectively need to work on supporting that piece in terms of rubric design. And just for us to wrap up this episode, how can technology effectively support the design and administration of rubrics for learning and teaching?
I think there's a great opportunity for technology to offer a lot of benefits to support the design and administration. I kind of mentioned a bit of one where, if you have this digital format of these rubrics, there could be a bank of rubrics that have been used in the past, criteria that has been used across different subjects or assessment types that you can pull statistics for of how students performed in the past across cohorts, identify maybe areas that of a rubric that could be updated and measure how that improves, or the ability for students to either understand the differences across descriptors or improve the distribution of performance across that rubric. And like I said, there's not really a tool out there for the building of rubrics. There's not a space for collaboration. This typically happens outside, either on paper or in Word, and you gather in a conference room with other educators to work through the design of that. And I think that's always going to be and should be part of the process. I mean, technology can help people gather together and see the edits over time, but you know, it's still probably is best to do that in person if possible, but sometimes it's not. And so technology can help that as well. I think, you know, if we want to start thinking about AI could also look for potential differences in the descriptors to see if it's too semantically similar descriptor before. It can do things to notify you that it may need updates or changes. So AI could could help as well in some areas. Yeah, I'm thinking of the administration of rubrics too. I don't think there's really an easy way to take a look across an institution and see what assessments are using some sort of rubric or scoring form to assess student work. And I think technology could provide insights on that at a broad scale and could track student performance over time if a rubric scoring criteria is used consistently for students. So I could probably keep going for a while as I keep thinking of ideas, but I think that's a good price stopping point.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think if we can get to a point where technology can support the curation of rubrics and support how we improve the rubrics, assess quality of the rubrics in terms of the feedback, also be able to show students performance across courses with different rubrics, and also if we could get it to the point where with the use of AI, it can actually suggest descriptors for the rubrics as well. I think that's one of the things that from my perspective, I feel that's how technology can inform rubric design for effective feedback. I would like to say a big thank you to Mark Rickson for being on today's episode. Today, we've been looking at rubric design for effective feedback for learners, especially in the learning and teaching environment. And I want to say thank you for your insights. And I hope you continue to do the work you're passionate with regards to rubric design. And hopefully we can see all the things we talked about, including the challenges and solutions in future technology.
Well, thanks for inviting me. It was nice having some time to chat with you one-on-one, Chooks.
Thank you, Mark.